I'm going to read once again from the Bible. It's Philippians chapter 1. I'll tell you the page when I've got there. So it will be it's page 980 of the Church Bible, but because it's the first page of a book, it doesn't actually say the page number, but it's the page opposite, page 981, if that makes sense. But it's the letter of Paul to the Philippians. Now, if you're not familiar with the way that the Bible's laid out, the New Testament has a number of letters. They were written to real people, to real churches or individuals, and this one was written to a church in Philippi. You can still find that place on the map. It was a really significant place because in the outreach of the early church, they came across, almost across from Asia to Europe, and there was Philippi on the edge of Europe. So the expanding mission of the gospel came to Philippi. And Paul writes this letter to the believers in Philippi. The Holy Spirit inspired that letter and has caused it to be preserved for us as part of these 66 books. And John is going to be preaching from part of this text this evening. So Philippians chapter 1, and I'll start reading at verse 1. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi with the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. I want you to know, brothers, and as he says brothers, it means brothers and sisters, the whole congregation. I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice. Yes, and I will rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance, as it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, and not frightened in anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation, and that from God. For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake, engaged in the same conflict that you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. May God bless his word to us this evening as John preaches it to us in a few moments' time.
Shall we just have a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, we do give you thanks and praise for your blessing, Lord. And Lord, at the place, Lord, that you've brought us here tonight, it's been good, Lord, to be together. We want to continue that on, Lord, through your word. So we ask it in the name of Jesus that you'll just bless our time together. Amen. Amen. So, where to start? Well, Stuart mentioned a little bit about where Philippians came from, the Philippi. Might mention that again later, I don't know. And but if you're in my Bible, which is the New King James book, the title look over the top of Philippians says this: the Epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Philippians. It's quite a mouthful, isn't it? The Epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Philippians. It's an important book, you see. And he not only wrote this book, but he wrote another 12 more to people and places. He was an encourager, you see. He knew that the needs of the church was very much in need, you could say, and much of a need. Churches were being hounded by the Romans. There was things going on. People were being neglected because of the priests who were preaching another gospel, by the Sadducees who didn't believe in the resurrection. And so he makes these letters personal. And if you know, it's a bit of a tongue twister, but I thought it was interesting to know that he that's what they gave the title. I don't think he said that, but the title for these letters is important. In the beginning of the Philippians there, he greets the church. He greets them. He says, Paul, Timothy, servants, be just normal people, but servants of the Lord Jesus. And he says to all the saints who are there, who he knows, who he had personal relationships with, in Christ Jesus, who are in Philippi. And then he says, the verse 2 in my Bible, it says, which he said in a lot of the letters which we have just mentioned, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3 and 4 and 5 are important too. There's a thankfulness in prayer. He says, I thank my God. He was aware of giving thanks to God for these churches. Upon every remembrance of you, that's part of you. Always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you with all joy for your fellowship in the gospel. And that's our first word this evening. What we're going to be thinking about with this fellowship. Fellowship what? In the gospel. The importance of fellowship as a church. Because Paul was so obviously and thought this was important. He mentions it. I thank God for the fellowship that I received in the church at Philippi. And he founded this church, you see. It was part of his life. He'd been there when, at the AD 50, he had founded this church. People had been reached, you could say, with this gospel, this free gospel of the church of Jesus Christ. The Philippian church then was growing, and he was so glad that he could write the letter now to encourage them, because he had heard there was getting a few problems. But now it's AD 61, near on. And it's going back a bit with these figures, aren't we, AD? But it seems as though it's getting closer, but it isn't. AD 61, it's about 10 years later. And Paul was now in a Roman jail, you could say. Yes, in a jail. And he's writing a letter. This is where he comes from. He was in a Roman custody at this time. They'd arrested him there in Jerusalem, and they accused him of desecrating the temple. Paul, desecrating the temple. Why? Because he was introducing Gentiles to the gospel. And the Pharisees, Sadducees didn't like this, and the priests and so on. And so they made much of the anger to the Romans' gods, you could say. This man is bringing uproar to this area. But he was bringing fellowship to the Gentiles. And so they arrested him, as we find out later. They arrested him there in the Acts of the Apostles. But he gets beatings and scourging and all these things were going on. He was put in prison there in Philippi. He was put in prison, and we know that in prison he also saw people saved, didn't he? Even the prisoners there could not stay Paul the Apostle. He was in the hired house now, you could say, Roman custody. He was a citizen of Rome, so they had to be careful what they did. They are not allowed to bring Roman citizens to trial without evidence. And they would have tried their best to find out what they could do. But so while he was there, he was allowed friends. Isn't that lovely for him? Like Timothy, he says. Paul and Timothy, servants, you see, of Jesus Christ. He was allowed to have friendships like Timothy. He was allowed to write letters, which he did here to Philippi. And as we saw there, he would start each letter to the churches with the same greeting. Grace to you, peace from God. How he could say those things while in prison is amazing, isn't it? Don't you think so? There he is in prison, bound with soldiers around about him, in chains maybe, not really being treated fairly, you could say, but treated, as best they could. But he was there, wasn't he? But he was able to give this advice to those who were there with him. And so, I thank God, he says, for every remembrance of you, always in my prayers of making requests for you with joy. Wow, this is a wonderful thought, that the man there in prison, he was making requests for others with joy. Isn't that something we need in this world today? And he says there in Philippi, you are very dear to my heart. Despite all these circumstances that I'm in, there he says, my deepest key word for you is that I remember you with joy. I rejoice in you, that you are still in the faith. I'm still there. And he mentions this word joy in one way or other 14 times in this first chapter. And he says, I'm always in prayer for you, for your fellowship. Isn't that something that we need to this night stress? The fellowship that is important to the church. Not only our church, but other churches. Your church, whoever, the churches that you know about. Hardsill Church. Your fellowship is important to every member. And our fellowship here is we're important to one another. Fellowship in the gospel is what we want, don't we? Because he says you need fellowship. You need that togetherness. He says there in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? What he's saying is that we need fellowship with God and God's people together. We need to make good choices in what we say. We need to make good choices in what we do. And we need to make good choices where we go, because it's important that we are not having fellowship with the darkness. Because he says, you are children of light. And what can light have with darkness? It cannot. Darkness cannot comprehend light. Light will block it out completely. I love in the mornings when you get up, don't you? You see the sun rising up and you know soon you'll be able to turn the light off and save electric. You know what I mean? It's there, isn't it? So, you know, make good choices. It's a joy then, folks, that we have God as our Father in heaven. And we have none other better than Him. So he says, in a way, we're saying, you keep yourself separate, don't you, from the world. Depart, Isaiah says, 52, he says, depart, depart. Go out from amongst them and be clean. And so there's the warning. There's a danger being unequally yoked in this world with uncleanness. We're told to come out, if possible, from amongst them and put off those sinful ways and put on the new man. To have fellowship then, folks, tonight. It's friendship, really, isn't it? Friendship. You have friendship. You can have friendships, but you need fellowships first. So come and wake once them. Make this gospel of love and peace and joy real. You know, Paul there in Philippi, he's now thinking about them. He's praying for them. He says, I want to continue in joy with you. He's in this prison. And Philippi apparently now is a Roman colony. But this letter can go out to them. It can encourage them. It can bring them together as one in fellowship with Paul and Timothy also. So Paul then keeps in touch with prayer, and others are praying for them in Philippi. He's thinking about them. And Philippi are thinking about Paul. They know that he's in a Roman prison, that he needs help. And they send a man to him. And his name is Epaphroditus. And I was thinking of this name, Epaphroditus. I thought, it sounds like something you get and you have to go to the hospital with. I don't know if you thought of that, but I did at the time. It made me laugh, that did. I need some treatment. Poor Epaphroditus. I apologize. And well, he had been given money to help Paul. They put together a little collection on behalf of Paul. They knew that he would need papers or papyrus there. He would need pens, quivers, whatever. He would need inks and so forth to write these letters. He would need help for that. And so they sent him with some money, and it was so well received because they were thinking about Paul and the fellowship that they had with him and were now still thankful for, even after 10 years. And so he's writing to them. He wants to let them know there is still unity in the gospel within Paul's heart and life. And so Paul sends this letter whereby Paul mentions, he mentions the name. He doesn't mention his name often. He mentions the name of Jesus Christ. And I think it's near on 18 times his name of Jesus or Christ or Jesus Christ is mentioned by the pen of Paul. He wants them to know that he too is in fellowship still with the Lord Jesus Christ, even though in prison. And it's a joy to him to be able to write this letter. I think most of us would have said or heard, read the most, well, not the most, but one of the most famous verses in chapter 1 of Philippians. There it says, "For me to live, to die is gain." Yeah, there it is indeed. "For me to live in Christ." We missed out that, didn't we? "For me to live, to die is gain." Oh no. "For me to live in Christ is to die is gain." And so he writes this letter, the gospel. That would the gospel is the only the gospel in the world that can say, "To live is Christ, to die is gain." Fellowship together then is high on Paul's charts. Isn't that good that we too have a church there that has fellowship? We have a church, yes. We have a church that opens to anyone. All sorts can come. A church that sometimes can be wet in places. A few missing seats there, but don't worry about that. No rain tonight. But it's open. Our giving keeps the lights on. We mentioned this morning about tithing. It's an important part of the Christian fellowship that tithing is given. It's not forced, but it's offered. And it's explained in the Bible that it's something that the church needs to grow. It keeps the lights on. It keeps us buying the biscuits that we have at a morning service. Hopefully we'll repair the roof soon. You know, it sends out magazines. I thought we got one here, yeah, I think. Sends out magazines like that. Lives changed by the gospel. People like this man who's a football record breaker of keeping the ball up hundreds of times, hundreds. I can do about six at the most, and that man can do hundreds. Wonderful. And so it sends out area magazines, doesn't it? You could go on thanking God for all his provisions. It'll provide for us. So Paul there, we're saying, "I want you to know, brethren, that the things which had happened to me, though they look rotten and horrible, though they, you know, I'm in prison, things which happened to me have actually, what? Turned out for the best. Turned out for the good of the gospel. It's brought fellowship to us tonight, all these years later." Oh yes, over 2,000 years have passed by. But fellowship is still most important to the brethren. It's getting shared, isn't it? Fellowship means in common. We have something in common. We belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he says there in Romans 8 verse 9, Paul writes, he says, "But you are not in the flesh, but in spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his." But the bad news there can be good news, because with joy you can receive Christ in your heart tonight. By believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, you can be saved. You can be born again. Born again and enter heaven one day. You don't, as Nicodemus thought, have I got to be born again in the womb of my mother? No, said the Lord Jesus. No, it's not that. It's more simpler. Come to me with all your troubles and I will forgive you. Come to me with your fears. Come to me with your wrongs. Come to me with even unbelief. And I will save you and take away all those sins, because this is a joyful gospel of good news. Believe in the fellowship of the multitudes who have gone before us and be saved. Come unto me, he says, and enter heaven one day in the name of Jesus. because great is his faithfulness. So fellowship then. He that begun a good work in you, he says, will complete it. Isn't that wonderful? Until the day of Jesus Christ. Paul writes again, I have you in my heart. I have you in my heart. Paul in prayer at midnight in the inner prison with chains and soldiers, yet a jailer calls out, what must I do to be saved? Believe, he says. There's the thing. Fellowship then is our first priority tonight. Fellowship, let's grow that fruit. Let's grow that fruit together and make sure that we can attend the meetings if possible and help out in the running of the church, of giving to the church, encouraging the pastor in his ministry. All these things are important, and Paul is there telling us to be like that. And so there we see that in verse 12 is our next point, and it just says, even in prison then, the furtherance of the gospel is preached. And how can he say that there in verse 12? He says, but I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me, I've been arrested, been beaten, I've been spat upon, been ridiculed, I've been dragged out near enough and people screaming to kill me. I needed to be rescued in a basket once in a while. He says, how can this happen, actually turn out to be the furtherance of the gospel? Well, he says this, even in prison, he says, the prison guards hear the gospel. They hear me praying. They hear me singing. The magistrates have to study the law so they can accuse me of something I've not done. And so they find it difficult to find anything wrong. What has he done wrong? He hasn't done anything wrong. Why is he here? Well, we're looking, we don't know. He says, I'm a Jew just like you. I was born free as a Roman. You can't punish me without a trial. Why am I in prison? And, for the furtherance of the gospel. Because God was using this time to make and send the gospel through the prison even, and to people who came and visited him. It was advancing, as it means, furtherance. And it comes like that. It needs willing hands and it needs willing feet. They recently we had a new manager for the England football team, Thomas Tuchel, and they asked him a question. Says, "What's the best team? Who's the best in the team? Which player can you not do without?" And Tuchel said, there isn't a player I can't do without. It's a team. Do you understand that? I thought it was wonderful. Even he was there saying, it's the team that counts. The team is important. If the team sends out the gospel together. He doesn't say, I need the most expensive player. He didn't say, I need the most gifted footballer. He didn't say that at all. He says, it's the team. It's a team effort. And that's the only way for me, he says. If the team must produce, and if one player isn't playing so good, the others will help them out. The others will say, well, I'll take that role for this week, give him a rest. He'll recover, or she will, and they'll be back in the team. Teamwork then brings furtherance of the gospel, folks. Paul's thankful for the money. He's thankful for the postman, Epaphroditus there, and he's thankful for all the things we can help him with. And so we have this then, we have Paul the Apostle saying amen to fellowship, saying amen to the furthering of the gospel. I rejoice, he says, and I will rejoice. And well, we are not in chains, are we? No. But be careful we don't get in spiritual chains. Do we shy away from gossiping the gospel? Because there's a fear that we won't be liked or we might be laughed at. Should we not be in everyday conversations with other people, if possible? And the church can be used. It needs players, of course. It needs players to encourage one another. And it needs teamwork. And Paul says, out of love, I sincerely want you to not be like me in chains, but be like me in proclaiming the gospel. The gospel will win the victory in the end. And how will it win? Thirdly, it'll win by faith, it says there, doesn't it, in verse 27. Let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. He said then, verse 21, for me to live in Christ, to die is gain. Yes, but his trial was to come. He could have been found guilty. Execution could have been the answer, but he gave himself two endings. He said, I've got faith. I will compete in the gospel. I could desire it, he says, to depart, to be with Christ. But there's more things needful for you and for the church, for the fellowship and the furtherance of the gospel. And so he would face the worst, but he was expecting the best, was Paul. He's an encouragement to us all, I think. Through faith, Paul was confident that God would do good for him and the gospel. And it's a proven verse, isn't it? God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. One of the other famous verses in chapter 4, verse 19 of the Philippians. And so be glory forever and ever for God. Faith, the joy of faith and believing, standing fast, says Paul. Giving advice to others, helping others out. And, while you are doing these things, others are doing it as well, because it's a team effort. It's a message of faith, is Philippians, to those who will hear. To those who will say, yes, that's what I want to be like. I want to take up that offer. I want to be a part of that church. I want to believe that he, the one who died for my sins, can do great, wonderful things for my family and my friends and neighbours. Growth groups we had last week, and Jesus said in our growth group through the book of Matthew, he said, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So there is a danger that we will think about this persecution as something we don't want, and we might come away from preaching the gospel. But Jesus said this, and we've closed on this last week. He says, rejoice and be glad. Why? For your reward is great in heaven. Your reward is great in heaven. And I believe that Paul must have thought this all the while he was in that prison. No matter what happens, persecution, the things I've had to suffer for the gospel is all worth it. For he says there, my reward I don't deserve it. I don't deserve it because I've done these things, but the reward will be in heaven. And so tonight, I wonder tonight if we can say together, fellowship, furtherance of the gospel is important. Faith, to reach out in our area with prayer, first of all, and giving so that the world that is outside might see something that they want. We have a grace, we have grace and peace through the Lord Jesus Christ. And one day we shall see one another in heaven and say, yes, I was part of your team and we had victory through the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. There's the Lamb of God sitting at the right hand of the Father. Wow. And we're part of that church if we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Amen.